Here we are then. It's a Tuesday. With me is Alison Hayden and also Ian McKee, not to be mistaken for me. It's spelt completely differently. I-A-I-N, which is the Scottish way, isn't it?
That's right, yep.
How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. And yourself?
Oh, I'm okay, thanks. Yeah, how's it going?
Not so bad. Hard work, but 10 weeks and a couple of days to go.
Only 10 weeks?
That's it, only 10 weeks now.
Are you pounding the street?
I am, yes, I am. Yeah, I've got a pedometer running, and so on our website you can see how many miles a day I'm covering. And I think from February the 7th when I first put it on, it's just over 100 miles, so it's... Quite tiring at times.
Well, you look a fit guy, and you're very energetic. You're very sort of, you know, up and down. And, well, yeah, no, yeah. I mean, that's a good thing, I think, because I think you're going to need as much energy as, you know, because I would imagine it's a big job, isn't it?
That's a huge responsibility, and it isn't just, you know, so pounding the pavement. So, you know, most of the work is actually listening and properly taking on board what people's concerns are.
Okay, so what are most people's concerns on the island, do you think, at the moment?
Schools, jobs, roads, ferries.
Yeah, I think that's about right. Did you miss one?
Sums it up,
no. I think that's about right.
Yeah.
So go on, which one do you want to deal with first?
let's go for everyone's favourite. Why don't we talk about the ferries?
Right, okay. Well, to me, it's not. The roads is the one that I would say, right, that's top of the list for me, because I don't use a ferry that much. I don't go off the island, because I always think I'm going to die. But, you know, I the roads are dreadful. But anyway, you want to talk about the ferries, that's fine.
Well, I mean, it is one of the things which unifies us all, because even if we like yourself, don't go off the island that much, we are paying high prices for our imported goods like fuel. When I went past the garage in Freshwater this morning, I thought it's 122.9 a litre, and compared to the mainland, which is like 107.9, just over the water. So we are all feeling the effect of it, one way or the other, even if we... choose not to actually cross water ourselves. One thing that I have been proposing is a dedicated ferries ombudsman. Right now the ferries are regulated only by the OFT, which has one power and one power alone, and that's to determine whether or not they are operating in a monopoly situation. Twice they've been referred and twice the answer has been no. But individual complaints are not being addressed. So I'd like to see the establishment, a pretty low cost layer of new bureaucracy, a dedicated ferries ombudsman, a cost which could easily be shared by other parts of the UK. But the long-term solution, one which I think is worth investigating, is whether or not we can split the moorings business from the sailings business, and actually allowing new operators to run the crossings. I'm using as my blueprint, if you will, the airlines, which were when the market was liberalised in the 1980s. They split the airports and the airlines business, thus allowing new operators to come in, like Ryanair, like EasyJet, which drove down prices. So that's kind of that would be the long term solution. It's something, it may well require retrospective action on a couple of privatizations, but I think that is one way of going forward and looking at how we could introduce competition into the marketplace for the benefit of all.
Okay. You wander off mic because you...
Oh, sorry. It's right. You've got a wobbly chair here, that's what it is.
Sorry.
Bad infrastructure.
Darren says, will you be pushing for a fixed link because many retailers are leaving the island because of transportation costs crossing the Solent?
Well, first of all, we're going to see where the fixed link is going, the proposed fixed link would be. How much is it going to cost? Where's that money going to cost? And does it come with the will of the people, both the majority of the people on the island and the majority of the people where it's going to be affected on the mainland? We can't just say, you know, right here, right now, whether or not I'm for it or against it, because we haven't even seen any concrete proposal. We haven't seen where the finance will be coming from.
So would you be for or against it at this moment? Because obviously...
I'm waiting to see the plans and the and the balance sheet.
Okay. I mean, there's a lot of questions here. There's a lot of things I want to say to you. There's a lot of things I'm going to ask you. There's lots of things that other people have messaged in. Alison's got some questions as well. Teresa says, a question, more of a query really. Do you think the Islanders will back UKIP come May?
Well, we scored 40, just under 41% of the vote in the European elections. Whether or not that transfers will come down to my efforts as the candidate. It will come down to how I come across to the constituents and whether or not I can be an effective representative post the election.
We went out to Shanklin last year, October, November, and we saw Al Murray. who's not a fan of UKIP, but we went to see Al Murray, and he started going on about UKIP, and the crowd went crazy. So we know there's the support out there, and you know, you had a theatre full. How many people does Shanklin hold? 400, 500, maybe 600 people.
500, 600, yeah.
And they were all very, very pro UKIP. I was quite surprised because we were in like a Tory town, really. But you know, they looked around. I thought, crikey, this thing could really catch on. And like you say, 15,000 people voted last year for a virtual unknown to us because we didn't know who he was. But he got 15,000 votes. Do you think when they vote for you, when they vote in May, do you think they're voting for you, or are they voting for the party?
Given the term of the fixed term parliaments, if I'm returned as MP, then I will be the MP until 2020. So one hopes that not only are the people who vote you are voting with trust and confidence that I can benefit the welfare of the island for 5 whole years.
I mean, that's a big old job, because we were talking about this, and this is how people maybe they should look at it this way. It's a job, and this is like almost a part of the job interview.
Yeah, absolutely. I do describe it as the world's biggest job interview. It's we've got 106,000 voters on the island. It is an enormous task, but that is how I'm treating it, and with that job comes those responsibilities.
Okay, on paper, I'm just looking at the 6 applicants that we've got at the moment. Just say on the big MD, I'm looking at the applicants and I'm thinking, no disrespect to the others, and yourself either. I'm looking at Andrew Turner. Right, okay, he's got the experience, he can do the job. Okay, but do we want him for another bit, you know, or is he past his sell-by date? That's how I'm going to look at it. Okay, who's next? Who have we got next? Well, Ian Stevens is another one that he can probably do the job. He's been a leader of the council, so he's probably got experience. Okay, the other person is Stuart Blackmore. He's a town councillor, probably not got as much experience as Ian, but he's got a party behind him that may be able to help him out. Have you got a party behind you that can help you if you've got the job? And if you know, could you do the job?
Well, I'm relying on 25 years business experience, where I have led and been involved in international negotiations, where I have been involved with sovereign and with local authorities. I'm coming in with a great deal of experience and knowledge in the energy and climate markets and the financial markets themselves. So is applying that expertise into a governmental role.
Okay, so you could do it.
I believe so, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, you'd be daft to go for a job if you're,
yeah.
if you're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
So there's lots of questions. Zoe says, how proud were you of your fellow UKIP candidates in Thanet in last night's or the other night's UKIPers programme?
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen the programme yet. I was out in some public meetings, but I am aware of it. I am aware of the comments which were made, and the point that I would make is that once the comments were known, she was expelled from the party, and perhaps some of the other parties could learn from our disciplinary process, whereas rather than suspend an individual, she was lobbed out.
Okay, I mean,
I certainly don't associate myself with any of those types of comments.
Okay, last year we were talking off air about UKIP last summer and so on, and we were saying that, and this is my belief. You watch a TV programme, and if it's a comedy programme sometimes, they're sending up Nigel Farage at every opportunity. And at some point, there is a little bit of this nation, perhaps a big chunk, that will think, hang on a minute, we don't like bullying, because that's what it amounts to. Now, things have changed in the last couple of months, because I think all of that publicity that he had last year, and UKIP as well, has kind of ceased. It's almost like someone's pulled the plug on it and said, right, we've got to concentrate on these three main parties, and every now and again we're going to put them in the picture, i.e. Greens, UKIP and alike. Is that the way you see it?
Oh, for sure. I mean, there are certainly long-term and well-established relationships between the three older parties, and they are able to rely upon support in the mainstream media, which we as a young party don't have those embedded relationships. And it appears to be quite a conscious decision of the newspapers and the television channels just to slowly strangle the amount of airtime that we're allowed.
Okay, just got to warn you. There's some questions here that you might not like.
No, that's fine.
But the good thing about this is, and the way we should obviously look at it is, I'm not going to tell you how to think. Is that okay? If all of these are questions and are negative towards you, if they're all going to be positive, they're all going to vote for you anyway.
But that's the job of a politician, isn't
exactly.
it? Is to be able to take the rough with the smooth.
Okay, we'll come to Alison in a minute. I'm sure she's got a question for you. But Kevin Barclay Joe says nowhere is ready for a UKIP MP. They are divisive in the community with hard right policies to make a Tory weep with joy. I would ask him how he can stand being in a party whose policy is decided by one man who changes it as and when he feels fit.
It's not the case that we have that it is a one-man policy party. No, we do have a functioning NEC. We do have experts from a variety of industries. This is not a one-man show, and experts do make contributions towards shaping our policy. We are a new and a young party, and yes, we do have to refine our policy areas. We do have to smooth those edges, and that is part of an evolution of the party. I cannot see how that is in any way divisive. I would say that is one of the most progressive parties out there.
Okay, Dean says, could you ask him if he has a problem with the features of any minority members of our wonderfully diverse society? In seriousness, could you ask him about their policy towards disabled people and the universal credit and tests which ATOS, etc. have carried out?
In terms of the universal credit, I think that the government, the coalition government, has been expecting an awful lot of the people of the more vulnerable people in society. I think that the whole system lacks a compassion. I'm absolutely appalled by the sort of draconian methods of companies like ATOS on the more vulnerable, and I would like to see a greater injection of compassion and flexibility within our benefit system.
Okay, got a question?
No, I was just picking up on that I read this morning that ATOS, apparently, they're not using ATOS anymore. They've brought in a new company to deal with people's benefit claims and things like that to be assessed by.
Who's? Do you know anything about the company?
No idea at all. It was sort of a breaking news story this morning as I came out.
I think it's an American firm.
An American firm. So they don't know anything about
it. But it's going to be better than ATOS, because apparently we're backlogged up to the hilt with people that haven't even really been assessed properly.
But if people are going to be assessed as to whether or not they qualify for disability benefit, in my opinion, it ought to be done by a GP. It ought to be done by a doctor, not by some bureaucrat via a spreadsheet. I think it is monstrously discompassionate.
No, I think that's absolutely right. Who is going to be the judge and jury, though? A doctor? At the end of the day,
I don't see one. We could see a re-merging back of the benefits into the NHS, like it used to be. It used to be the Department of Health and Social Security. I see no reason why we can't go back to that, and then we can start to have, like I say, more compassion and greater flexibility and awareness of local needs and issues and local opportunities. And it should really be that sort of much more humane approach taken by a GP than the spreadsheet job. Is at ATOS or other such companies.
Okay, when it comes down to the NHS, and I know that, you know, the NHS is being used as a political football at the moment, everyone knows that, and I say there is one of, because I say your policy, your manifesto isn't out as such yet. It comes out, you say, the weekend.
At the weekend, we had the spring conference at Margate.
But yeah, something came to light yesterday that you're going to put in 20,000 extra nurses, is that right? Or was it 30,000 extra nurses?
I'll be honest, and I haven't read the email. It came through to me last night. I apologise for not being that well read up on this specific policy area on this issue. So the email came from UKIP HQ last night, and I haven't got round to reading it.
Okay, well I kind of skated through it earlier on. They didn't never mention. Well, they did mention a little bit of money.
8,000 new nurses or something, wasn't it? And midwives and doctors.
3,000 doctors.
We were just curious as to where they're going to come from, seeing as the NHS is having a job to recruit staff as it is.
Especially over the weekend, especially on the Isle of Wight, when they were panicking because they were urging people to come forward. They asked yesterday, didn't they,
for healthcare staff.
It is almost like all the parties, you know, obviously mine included, are suddenly sort of trying to. They're playing this sort of like bid up game, right? Well, you know, one party will say, "Well, we'll get 10,000 nurses," and the other party says, "Well, we'll raise you, make it 15." We've got you in order to get more of the front lines and doctors and nurses into the system. You've got to start the process with the training, with the education, with the training. I don't really want to. I want to avoid any of this, any of these promises, most of which, you know, will be very difficult to deliver unless we have a shake-up of the education system as well.
Okay, well, that's another story, the old education system, but the NHS, as UKIP leader Nigel Farage said his party was committed to a free NHS paid for by taxes as he set out plans to spend an extra £3 billion per year on the service. The party said it would end hospital parking charges and give NHS staff a pay rise. UKIP would require overseas migrants to prove they have insurance cover on arrival in the UK to end what it calls health tourism. Labour said that UKIP had long-standing support for the NHS privatisation, and Mr Farage has previously proposed an insurance-based system of healthcare. So, I mean, where do you stand on NHS being privatised?
I don't think it can be privatised. I don't think there is a public will for it to be privatised. So why would we even want to start sort of going down this route of debate? And I would point out that it was under the Labour government, under the PFI programme, that most, if you will, private sector involvement in the health service occurred.
Okay, but then if your man at the very top is saying he's a fan of NHS privatisation, I mean, which is what he's saying is he's long-standing support for it. I think, hang on a minute, how can you stand by the side of him?
I think that those comments refer back to quite some time ago. I think it's 2010 when he was talking about the insurance based a policy idea which has now been rejected by the party. That I don't believe that there is ever going to be the public will for a full scale privatisation of the NHS. I don't think it is. For me, it is a non-issue to discuss it. Where we can discuss it is what we can discuss about the NHS is how improvements can be made. We do appear to have an overly bureaucratic system. There are efficiencies to be had, and I don't think we actually have to talk about the yes or no on the privatisation. I just cannot see it's ever going to happen.
So, how does that put you, Ian, for locally for the Isle of Wight? Bearing in mind your standing as MP for the island, what would you do to enhance the NHS on the Isle of Wight? How could you influence that?
I mean, when it does come to the NHS as a policy issue, my prime concern, if returned as MP, is improvements at St Mary's and through the GP surgery. So rather than take it on this sort of grand sort of national scale of how we're going to shake the whole thing up, is to work with the health service here and to find out where extra funding can be sourced, how systems can be improved, and we'll take it from there. My priority is for St Mary's and the GP surgeries in terms of healthcare on the island.
Ready for another stinky question?
Go for it.
You're not beginning to wish you didn't come in, are you?
No. I just I could have done without this sort of box of rotten tomatoes that you've got over there.
We haven't thrown any yet, so you're all right.
They're not for you. Yes, we're
saving
them. We're saving it for the next guy. Kevin Barclay J also says, ask him why his party supports the openly fascist Golden Dawn in Greece, sides with the extreme right wings groups in European Parliament they don't believe in, and how he feels about his fellow UKIP Euro MPs with their head in the trough, taking at least £80,000 a year for being part of a parliament they don't believe in. Ask him why UKIP. Blimey, should we do one at a time?
Yeah, first. Can we get an extension on the show as well? I think you should just invite Kevin to come over here, and we'll have a long chat. Why not?
Go on. What's the answer to the first question then?
I've I don't know of any link between Gold and Dawn. Well, that's a new one on me.
Okay. Extreme right-wing groups in a European Parliament they don't believe in, you're taking the money for, or your guys are taking the money, 80 grand a year.
If it wasn't for UKIP, if it wasn't for Nigel Farage and our MEPs, we would not be debating the European Union at this general election. This election, 2015, is going to be fought over the UK, predominantly going to be fought over the UK's continuing membership of the European Union. And for that, we have to be grateful for Nigel Farage and the UKIP MEPs bringing it to the forefront of the political agenda.
Okay, ask him why UKIP voted against threatened animals, body parts, imports and export. Ask him why. Do you want to do that one? Because there's a load more. There's a load more coming that way.
Well, you do have to take into consideration that the European Parliament has no legislative powers to speak of, so the votes are actually meaningless.
Right, okay. Ask him why UKIP supports fracking. Do you support fracking?
Well, if we're talking about fracking for gas, which I think is most people's understanding of it, I don't support it because right now we don't have the infrastructure to deal with it. What are you going to do with the gas once it's out of the ground? You've got to get it to storage. Predominantly, we store gas in the North Sea. We've only got 2 weeks worth of storage there. So we need to see an expansion of the storage facility. And then we only have 3 gas terminals to bring the gas back onto the mainland and onto the grid. We need to then build a fourth. A fourth terminal before we then could bring it onshore, and then we don't have any sufficient economic gas-fired power stations to even burn the stuff. So I think actually having this debate whether or not I'm pro or for or against fracking, I think I should like to discuss how we're going to overall manage our energy requirements.
Okay, is this something? Because what's your background is energy, isn't it?
Energy and climate, yeah.
Okay, so there's something you know a lot about, but at this moment in time, you're saying no to fracking.
I don't think it's economically viable.
Okay, ask him why his party supports TTIP. TTIP,
Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership.
Okay,
we don't even know that all the talks on TTIP, which have been going on for about 3 or 4 years, have all been held in secret. We have absolutely no idea what is contained within TTIP, other than the fact that the French film industry has scored a pass on it. We don't know. So to have opinions about something you don't know about is not something I want to do.
What's your opinion on Europe?
It's a great place.
Europe in or out?
I'm all for the UK leaving the European Union. I'm all for us being a self-determined nation.
Okay, well, listen, this is how I see it. I don't know how Alison sees it. We had a discussion on this morning. The way I see it is that, you know, Europe in or out, I don't think the average Joe on the street has any idea just how big a loaded that question is. Do they actually know? Because we need to see the accounts, don't we? Let's be honest. If it's in, it's we're staying in because it's profitable, and if we're out, we need to know that it's not. And it's as simple as that, isn't it?
Here's a question for you. There are 20...
Here, Ian, I do the questions.
That's our job.
There are 28 European commissioners, 28 of the most powerful people in the world. They have primacy over individual member states' policy in those areas. How many European commissioners can you name? You've got 28.
How many European commissioners can you name?
Is Angela Merkel one?
No.
Oh.
That's
me gone. That's us gone.
And how many MEPs can we name?
I'm struggling there as well. Yeah. Is there somebody called Taylor up somewhere south, over the left, over there somewhere?
Smith. One of them's meant to be called
Taylor.
Smith.
Taylor.
And do we know? Do people know how the European Court of Justice works, or the European Court of Auditors, or the European Council? You can go on and on. The point is that this is how your country is being run.
I don't need to know, because all I want to know is how much it costs.
But this is a democratic deficit, and this is the great skill that the European Union has been able to do, is to obfuscate how it operates and how much it costs, thus leaving us in the dark. So when we come to that question, EU in or out, most people are going to be ambivalent because they don't have enough knowledge,
sure,
or they don't feel confident in the knowledge that they have, and therefore they will tend to vote for the status quo, which will be to stay in.
Well, I look at it the other way. I've just given it how I look at it.
Yeah, sure.
I would need to know, just say if we were having the vote next year, tomorrow, whenever, I would say, show me the accounts. Is it more profitable for us to be in than out? And then I can make a decision. It's simple, isn't it?
Oh, well,
Do we go to Tesco or do we go to Sainsbury or do we go to Lidl?
Yeah.
You know, that's the you know, we need to know how much it's going to cost us.
Like to know if we have a referendum like we've been promised by Nigel Farage, that in or out of Europe, what happens if the country votes to stay in Europe?
Then we go with the will of the people, end of the story.
But that has been 99% of his rise to glory, if you like, about leaving the European.
I will always respect the will of the people.
And how
I'm talking myself as a candidate. I'm not going to talk about anyone else within UKIP. If we get to the point of the referendum, I'm not going to do an SNP and then demand that we have, or an EU even to that matter, have another referendum and another one until we get the right result. We have one now, and if the people vote to stay in, then fine. That's what we do.
So your view personally, you're standing as our candidate for MP for the Isle of Wight. The people listening, what is your view personally, in or out?
Out.
Okay. Dean Hodges says, I would be interested to know why you think it was correct for your party's MEPs to vote against a ban on the ivory trade. I will listen carefully to his response and justification. Thanks, Ian.
Again, the votes in the European Parliament have little to no legislative effect. So what the reasoning behind it was, I don't know.
Okay, so you don't know?
No, I mean, I'm not going to pretend to know about something that I don't. So
why are their votes? Why do they not have effect?
The European Parliament has only got one effective power, which is to accept or reject the European budget, excluding the Common Agricultural Policy budget. So all of that's its one legislative power. Everything else is merely a rubber stamping.
So when they're voting on banning the ivory trade,
mm-hmm. The decision, if the vote is rejected, it goes back to the Commission and then is resubmitted to the Parliament and on.
So it's not actually the candidates there that get to vote.
Do you have to just say, for instance, if someone, this is where we're going, this is what UKIP thinks. I mean, at the end of the day, if you had to vote on the ivory trade, a ban on it, what would you do?
Absolutely, I'd vote for a ban on it. Of course, I would.
Okay. Well,
a lot of the questions which are being posed towards me today
are on a national level.
From what people MEPs have done in the past, and I'm here to make the case for my candidacy rather than to approve disapprove of how they voted in a meaningless chamber.
Okay, do you want some good news?
Oh yeah, go on then. Well, that time's nearly up, is it?
No, not at all. Phil says, Ian would make a good MP. Every party has their loonies. You just don't hear of them as the media only report on UKIP. At least UKIP acts and gets rid of members who are racist. Good point. That lady is no longer a member of UKIP. UKIP has good policies and not a one-man party. All our policies for our manifesto was voted and debated at our conference. UKIP, most democratic party, many lies told about UKIP, particularly on our NHS policy. Up UKIP, says Phil.
Cheers, right. Phil.
That's put a little smile to his face. Yeah. Now, let's get back to some local stuff, and let's talk about these roads. What are you going to do?
Well, we've got to, I'm making the case that we're going to be looking towards a proper review on how this contract was signed off and whether or not we're going to get value for money. And the contract itself is worth £730 million over 25 years. And you ask pretty much anyone, and they'll say it's a disgrace. So therefore, I'm all for having an appropriate legal review on this.
Let's just put this into let's just bang home this point, because the people that signed this off were the last Conservative local council, unfortunately. It was down to them. And the new council have inherited that, sadly. And I think legislation may mean that their hands are tied, but the word is that they are and have been looking into the legal documents and the legal side of things?
Well, they held back £247,000 payment to Island Rose just last week, and they've called in a specialist company at a cost of £130,000, Atkins. Atkins were involved in the Metronet PFI, which, according to University of Essex, cost the country... They were a consortium member of Metronet, which cost the country anything up to £20 billion. I would certainly question the wisdom of whether or not they have appointed the most appropriate available reviewers of that contract.
Okay, well, we've got Phil Jordan in tomorrow, actually, mm-hmm. so we will ask him that question. Yeah. But the fact remains that, you know, they've inherited this. You know, our local council at the moment have inherited that from the previous council. And I checked back through some documents, and there were certain people that actually said they should not sign up to this. And one of them was the former leader of the Isle of Wight Council, Ian Stevens, who was obviously now standing as MP. And there was someone else as well. But he's the main person I want to make a point of, because... You know, he actually said from the start, yeah, this is a bad thing. And, you know, we're all saying it's a bad thing. And it really is a bad thing. It's going to cost us, by the look of it, a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of heartache. We look at our roads, they are in a dreadful state. They're the worst they've ever been.
PFI is a national problem. It was a method employed predominantly by the last Labour government of spending money and taking it off the balance sheet. They're taking it away from the official debt figures. Now, currently, the UK's national debt officially stands at £1.5 trillion. But in addition to that, there's another £800 billion of PFI payments. So we are not just saddled here with a questionable PFI contract. We have got a national issue, which I would like to see at a national level. It is very difficult for government, be it local or national, to renegotiate these contracts, as we saw with the Raytheon deal on the e-passports, which nearly cost the government an additional £240 million. But we're going to have to look at this systemic problem that we've got on there, which is that is the elephant in the room, is an £800 billion liability on PFI.
Okay, so I mean, looking at it locally, I think there's going to be an awful lot of talking. But what by you coming out and going public and asking the question, are you going to follow this through?
Well, absolutely. Things like the roads are not specifically part of the MP's mandate, if you will. But however, the MP is responsible for the welfare and well-being of all of the islanders all of the time. This is clearly a major issue, and I think that we've got yet another example of our current MP Andrew Turner being asleep at the wheel and not getting involved.
I'd like to ask you, Ian, just sticking with the PFI. Phil Jordan's obviously the portfolio holder for the contract. Mm-hmm. Have you actually spoken to Phil Jordan?
No.
Have you made an effort to speak to Phil Jordan so that you could, as prospective candidate, perhaps be a larger voice or whatever? Because I'm kind of just sat here, and I know you released a statement last week, yeah, saying that you were, you know, interested in the PFI, yeah, and it was costing this and it should be looked at, which is fine. But the Isle of Wight Council had already announced that a week, 10 days beforehand.
But after the announcement came out, I took advice from a PFI specialist barrister at Temple in London, and I took advice from a director of one of the three largest management consultancy groups which specialises in PFI. And I thought it best, rather than potentially be influenced by Councillor Jordan, was to have my own view as to what it should be. So I took my own advice and then released a statement.
I just wondered whether, standing as a prospective MP, whether you should be thinking about working in partnership with our councillors in County Hall, so you actually get an insight into all the different portfolio holders, so you get the knowledge of what's actually going on.
Now, that is a fair point, but at the same time, I was aware that Ian Stevens was going to be standing as an opponent, so therefore it wouldn't be rational for me then to engage too deeply, too quickly with the Island Independents. I felt a better course of action to take my own advice from people from other industry experts.
Okay, I mean, I don't know whether you know the history of the Isle of Wight Council in the past, where we've had an MP that didn't get on with the former leader of the council and so on and so forth. I mean, Alison makes a good point there. It's you know, it's all about getting on with people, and what you don't want to do, if you get the job, you don't want to be on the back foot annoyed the rest of the team over there when they can help you and they can work together.
But what you'll see right now for the next sort of 10 weeks and change is there'll be all kinds of things being thrown out of all of the by all of the candidates. But come May the 8th, then it is the question: if you've got to get down, you've got to work with all the people involved.
But if you alienate them to start with, by perhaps not liaising with them before you release a press statement, do you not think that might make it a bit harder if you are elected?
I don't believe so at all. I think it demonstrates that that I've got an independent mind and I'm not prepared and I'm prepared to make myself heard.
Okay, look, we'll take a quick break and then I'll come back and I want to share a vision with you.
All right.
So a quick break and we'll come back.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com. While You Wait Services is a real Aladdin's Cave in Pyle Street, Newport. A truly local business that offers a fabulous friendly service. Leather repairs, shoe repairs, key cutting for your car, house or shed. In fact, any kind of keys. They're also experts in engraving, house signs, shoe dyeing. They also do zip replacement for that coat you don't want to throw away. A shop for so many uses. While You Wait Services in Pyle Street, Newport. It's the most useful shop in town.
White Crystal is an Isle of Wight charity selling still and carbonated spring water products, flavoured and water coolers, to fund care services, employment and life-enhancing opportunities for people with a range of disabilities. To see their fabulous wide range of products, go to www.whitecrystal.org.uk or call to place an order on 01983 520 128. That's 01983 520 128.
White Office Equipment Computer Repair is all you need to have your computer or laptop repaired from just £20 plus VAT. This includes all labour for as long as it takes us. Just drop your laptop or computer into our high street store at your convenience and collect it when it's been repaired. No need to book. Come and see us at the High Street, Sandown, opposite Sainsbury's, or call 400045. That's 400045.
White Trash. White Trash World, the home of the island's very own skate brand, White Trash. 59 High Street Ride. It's open Mondays, Thursdays, Fridays and Saturdays. 10:30 till 6 p.m. Not just about skateboards, it's clothing, gifts, shoes, books, DVDs and more. The island's only skate store, White Trash World. Ride High Street.
Does your garden need attention? Why not call LCL, Lee Cook Landscaping, to put it right? They are specialists in driveways, patios and paths, brickwork and stonework, decking and furniture, fencing, water features, lawns and planting, and garden maintenance. You can find them at www.lclandscaping.webs.com. No job too big or too small. Call today for a free competitive quote on 07964 465 880. That's 07964 465 880. Lee Cook Landscaping is a high quality building and landscaping company partnered by D. Rigby Building and Landscaping.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone, 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Tuesday's Lunchtime Social, it's Macca, and we've got Ali Hayden in, and we've also got the UKIP parliamentary candidate for this year's general election on the Isle of Wight, Ian McKee. There are other parties too, but we're going to mention them at this point. I had a vision about 8 months ago. I said to people, let me just give you a bit of background about me. I'm 50 this year. I've always, until about 10 years ago, voted Labour. I was a former shop steward. The reason why I don't vote Labour anymore is purely and simply because they're not working class anymore. So, you know, I'm all for the working class. So, anyway, I stopped voting for them, and I've just looked at politics and thought, what a cesspit it's become. You know, that's it. It's a cesspit of corruption, people claiming for things they don't have, having their toes sucked and all sorts of stuff. It's just, to me, it's a whole cesspit. And I look at the main three parties. Sorry, at the moment, they are the main three. And I wouldn't vote for any, and I certainly wouldn't do it. You know, at this moment in time, they are not going to get my vote, all right? So I thought to myself, well, OK, how wonderful would it be if we all woke up on May the 8th, I'm guessing? It is May the 8th. And don't take this the wrong way, but I look at it and think, how bad must it be, will it be for them when they wake up on May the 8th and they think, right, how bad must it have been for people to vote UKIP? All of a sudden, this party have appeared, over the last couple of years, and all of a sudden, you know, you've got Farage as the Prime Minister, you've got UKIP as the government. How bad must it have been? That's the way I look at it. But there were times last year when I started thinking, hang on a minute, I think this could work. I'm now sort of looking at it and I'm not quite sure. So convince me.
I do like the fact that May the 8th is actually going to be VE Day in this country. That's when we're going to be celebrating the 70th anniversary. I think it's wonderful, wonderful timing.
Okay. You've gone off mic there.
You're right. There has been a slow degradation of the trust and the faith in our elected representatives. I think it's been going on since I can remember being upset with the two major parties in the 1980s, when people were starting to get tired of Thatcherism. Then we moved to a more sort of market based corporate socialism, which has now been rejected. I think this is our disenchantment with politics is something. There's something central to the nature of the British psyche. Right now, I think that the two key issues are open door immigration and our membership of the European Union. Those are the two things which I'm hearing the most on the in my public meetings and meeting people in the street. This is something that we need to address, taking back the right to become a sovereign nation. How we do it has to be on a policy by policy basis. We are a young party and we can be shaped, we can be formed. In terms of the energy market, we have to take a proper long-term solution, policy objectives, which is to stop any of the green taxes which are hitting the less well-off, the lower-income families the hardest. We've got 22,400 people here on the island said to be living in fuel poverty. This is as a direct result of the green taxes, which are a direct result of our membership of the European Union. That is one thing that I'm going to be absolutely resolute about. A UKIP government would stop the green taxes and start creating an economic environment where we can have clean coal build and new gas-fired power stations, as well as long-term investment in the nuclear sector.
And how's that going to help the Isle of Wight?
There, I said we've got 22,400 people living in fuel poverty. Since 2007, fuel prices have actually dropped in the wholesale market by 43%, but our household power bills have gone up by 140%. So by abandoning the green taxes, by starting a long-term investment program into energy sources that actually work, then it will benefit everyone on the island. It will lower our costs of production, and specifically it will help our lower-income families and our older people who will not be struggling to make ends meet.
Okay. Talking of which, Pyro has messaged in and say, ask Ian of the disabled policies.
Specifically what? No, I mean, absolutely, Evan, under UKIP policies, absolutely everyone gets treated on the same basis.
Okay, because there was a question back a little while ago about Dean. UKIP say nothing about disabled people. Why is that? I have been trying to get any policy, but it's been a fruitless search thus far.
Well, please, if Dean, if you get in touch with me via the website, either the branch website or my personal website, I will put you in touch with Star Etheridge, who is our disabled spokesman. Then you can take up any specific issues with her. If you don't get any joy from her, please come back to me, and then I will try again on your behalf. That's all. That seem fair to you?
Good point. Well done. He's going to be well chuffed with that, I guarantee it. Right, okay, there's loads of questions here. Some of them I don't really want to ask, but some of them I do. The Cornish UKIP leader is still a member, stated that a disabled person should never have been born and a burden on our system. Take from that what you will, but I mean...
That was a few weeks ago in the media, wasn't it?
What do you feel when people say that? They're in your team.
They're not in my team. They're not. The law should be applied consistently and without prejudice to absolutely everyone in this country. That is what I stand for. I will not stand idly by while anyone is disadvantaged for any reason at all. All kinds of political parties have all kinds of people on the fringes who say pretty unpleasant things. They are not representative in this case of UKIP policy. They're certainly not representative of my principles.
Okay, let's go back local. Education.
We are in favour of the
just move yourself around.
Oh, you've sorry, got sorry. Yeah. Sorry, it's a subsidence in this building. I'm just being dragged away. we are in favour of the reintroduction of grammar schools, that is for sure.
Would that mean another change?
Is it change for change's sake? But if we look across the league tables, grammar schools are consistently performing better nationally. This is something that seems to make sense. But so long as it only comes with the same amount of spending for the technical college.
So just let's be so we're clear on this. Are you suggesting we go back to the three tier system?
It's whatever is going to work best for the parents, for the pupils, and for the teachers, and that we are getting better value for money and better grades. The grades right now that the schools here are performing are not exactly something to be proud of. They are improving in some quarters, but we need to do better. And one method which does attract a lot of popularity amongst people is the reintroduction of grammar schools.
But okay. we're at the moment in the throes, we're in the middle of a consultation.
And I think there's another one coming up as well.
On our schools. Yeah. So in, say, a year's time, something's in place to actually change our school system again on the island, to either make them bigger, smaller, cut numbers down, intake numbers, which is all part of this consultation at the moment. As an MP on the island, surely you're not going to come in and say, actually, we're not going to do that.
I'm going to be coming in as a late entrant, that's for sure. And then I have to fit in and I have to work with the consultation process as it's going. I will have a tendency to promote grammar schools. But this is not coming in some form of dictatorship, okay? This is not something which will then just be stamped on over people's heads without their approval. I will join into that consultation process. I will work with and take the appropriate levels of advice from both here on the island amongst the teachers and the parents, as well as other sources on the mainland, and see if we can come together with a solution that will deliver better exam results.
So have you, as a candidate, been to any of the consultations on education to see actually what's going on now?
Not as yet, no.
Okay.
Shameful.
Too busy pounding the streets. Too busy trying to...
Jonathan Skeet says, I'm not really a UKIP supporter, but there isn't really any sensible reason to believe that the UK will suffer any significant long-term economic damage from withdrawing from the EU. At the end of the day, it's not really self-deluded EU officials that decide these things, but the brutal reality of money markets and international trade that plough on regardless of any silly self-important clubs people have set up. That's more of a statement than a question, isn't it?
Yeah.
What would you say to that, though?
Where's the question mark?
Yeah. the UK will not be worse off for leaving the European Union. 75% of all financial transactions go through the City of London. Without the UK, the EU cannot raise any money.
Okay, one more from Jay. It says, left-wing days are past, except they are not, because all over Europe, left-wing parties are winning and denying right-wing austerity parties power. UKIP will get the 12 to 15 seats they expect. They will become the fourth party in Britain after the SNP, but will be powerless, toothless, waste of space, just like the Lib Dems. What would you say to that? Bit harsh.
Yeah, that's very harsh.
No,
I've got to be honest, you've got a good set of choppers there, so toothless is not right.
No, not at all.
It's the beauty of free speech, isn't it? And it's the beauty of debate. With our 12, 15, 20 MPs, whatever that number is, come May the 8th, we will have a disproportionate amount of time on the media. I, as MP for the island, will come branded with UKIP MP Isle of Wight, thus giving... As a our voice, make our voice for the island disproportionately louder. The issues of EU membership and open door immigration will not go away while we have those 15 to 20 MPs.
Okay, is that what you're predicting, 15 MPs, roughly?
That seems to be the number of the bookies at the moment.
Do you think is that enough? Do you think is that a good? I mean, obviously it's more than last time, so it's a step in the right direction.
So long as they're the 15 of the right MPs, absolutely.
Okay, what about on the Isle of Wight then? Because let's talk locally now. Spend a minute on this. Then I'm going to come back to you and you've got 3 minutes to tell us why we should vote for you. All right, so have that in your head and a mo. But we're let's do that now. Three minutes. Tell us why we should vote for you. Why should I put my cross next to your name in May?
I'm 46 years old. I'm married. I've got a son of 7 and a half, so I have all the same feelings or empathies with people going through the education system. I drive along the roads. I'm fully aware of the parlous state that they're in. I use the ferries on a regular basis, and I can see sometimes the fares seem to be a little bit out of kilter. I've got family members who are going through the NHS system, going through St Mary's, and I can see where it's doing well and where it's performing poorly. Someone with almost 25 years of business experience, I can see that areas on the island could really do with some investment. I can see areas on the island that do not need large amounts of house building, as particularly when we don't have the infrastructure around to support it. As a businessman, I can see where the council need to adopt a more flexible and adaptive approach to developments. All in all, I'm just a concerned citizen. I'm not a professional politician. I'm just someone who has got tired of shouting the television, shouting the radio, and scrumpling up the newspaper. And I decided to throw my hat into the ring.
Do you know what? We all have probably done that in the last few years, where we shouted at the television. So, I mean, the good thing is, and I want to thank you for standing. I want to, you know, and all the others too, because I think, you know, regardless of reasons why, they're doing it because whether
for
we
all
agree,
the right reasons,
for all the right reasons,
they
yeah.
think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's it.
Democracy is a wonderful thing, and unfortunately, democracy is something which is being denied us by the European Union.
Okay. Peaceful Life says, would appreciate Ian's thoughts on peak oil. Climate change, resource depletion, and how propositions such as the TTIP again would impact on social equity regarding privatisation, pro or anti-austerity, just a little extra, just what is a climate market, many thanks. There's a lot there.
Yeah, I know. Peak oil, which was something which was predicted to be happening in 2006, 2007, which has clearly not happened, as the oil price has slumped down to about $50-$55 a barrel. What was the next thing on there? TTIP we've already discussed, because we don't know what's in it. It's all being discussed behind closed doors by unelected EU bureaucrats.
Pro or anti-austerity?
I have major objections to austerity, because I believe that it is attacking people who are the least able to look out to fend for themselves. How can we say that we live in an age of austerity when in 2010 the UK public budget was £540 billion and now it's risen to £760 billion a year? How can we say this is austerity? They are not cutting spending. On the contrary, they've increased it by something like 40%. Where they are making, if you will, savings is by attacking people who are least able to defend themselves. And I think that is morally reprehensible.
Okay, one final question. Yeah. How many... Andrew Turner got 30,000 votes last time. Okay. The Lib Dem got 20,000 votes. Have you set yourself a target? Do you think, I'm going to win with 20, I'm going to win with 15?
I'll win with 10 to 15,000.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
You think that Andrew Turner's going to lose 20,000 votes?
Absolutely. He's asleep at the wheel.
Okay. All right, that's interesting. That's not a lot of votes, though, is it? That doesn't fill me with confidence. I'm sorry. When it comes down to 10 to 15,000, I'd be wanting more than that.
It's only a very
small percentage, isn't it?
No, to have a 10 to 15,000 majority.
10 to 15,000 majority. Okay. Well, now I'm slightly more confident.
Sorry. Wasn't I clear on that?
I thought. Well, hang on a minute. If you only want 10 to 15,000 votes, you might get picked by the Labour guy.
And
even.
Do you think that's achievable on the Isle of Wight?
I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't think it, if it was realistic.
Okay. Ian McKee, thank you for your time, and hopefully you'll come back again, and you know, because we've enjoyed it. And I know the quiet questions have been quick fire, and it may have come across as being a bit negative, but I think that's what it's all about. It's those questions that the people are asking, and it's a great opportunity for you to answer
them. Absolutely. No, I have enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.